Hello, everyone, and welcome to The New Yorkers, a podcast by New York City Cop. I am your host, Kelly Cop, a published photographer, New York City tour business owner, real estate content creator, podcaster, and above all else, a New Yorker.
Ladies and gentlemen, the next Brooklyn-bound train is now arriving.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
So joining me today, everyone, I have digital creator Rick McGuire, who is the founder of the popular Instagram pages Subway Creatures, What is New York, What New York Eats, What New York Wears, and What is New York Dating. But most importantly, Rick is a New Yorker as well. Welcome to the show, Rick. How are you doing today?
Thank you so much for having me.
So I have a lot of questions, and we've got a lot to cover because your pages to me are some of my most favorite pages here in New York City. I look at your pages daily. I go to them for inspiration, to laugh. It's just all about New York City and what New York City is about. So to learn about you, tell us where you were born and where you're from.
Yeah, I was born in New Jersey, northern New Jersey to be more specific, way back in the 80s. it's weird to say that now. But grew up in northern New Jersey, just a few miles outside the city. Moved here in 2010, and kind of been here since. So it's been amazing. And you know, it was one of those things growing up. I always knew I was going to live in the city. Like I always saw the New York City skyline from where I grew up, and I said, "I am going to live there."
I get it. I get it. But you're just outside of New York City anyway, where you were born. So in my opinion, when people say, when I talk to people on the street and say, "Hey, where are you from?" and they say, "Oh, I'm not from here. I'm from New Jersey." I'm like, "Oh, you're from New York." To me, in my opinion,
you know, there's a big gatekeeping crowd in New York City. I don't act like I was born and raised in New York City, but yeah, even growing up when I did live in New Jersey, I was in the city all the time. So you know, it's kind of it's like a second home to me.
Yeah, I understand that. Yeah, definitely. So how did you get started in digital content creation? And what inspired you to start these pages?
Yeah, so I actually was a television producer straight out of college, working in behind the camera. And as a hobby, I just started a Facebook group, and I needed to come up with a name for it. It was basically a collection of all of the crazy Subway stuff I was seeing.
Right.
So I named it Subway Creatures, and honestly, it was just something I was doing for fun. It was for friends and family in the beginning. And then next thing you know, it just started kind of spiraling. And people started sending me stuff, and I didn't have to go out and seek content anymore. It was kind of coming to me, and I was like, this is wild.
And what year was this? Did you start this?
So this actually was in 2011.
So this is pre-Instagram.
This is pre-Instagram. Yeah. It started social media. Yeah, it started as a website and a Facebook page. And then Instagram came along, and I was like, oh, you know, let me move some of the content over there. And then as Instagram started evolving, the account kind of started snowballing. And that really was like a turning point.
Wow, that's amazing. So you managed them all, I assume, in the beginning by yourself, or did you have help? And now that it's so huge, how does it work now as well?
Yeah, that's a good question. So it was just me in the beginning. It pretty much is still me. I'm very, you know, self-conscious when it comes to handing out passwords to things.
Oh, I get that.
Yeah, it's, you know, it especially when it's your livelihood, you're like, you know, you don't want someone else to be responsible for something like that. So I do have people on the back end that help me. One person specifically who helps with DMs and coordinating. But for the most part, it is primarily me. The Subway account started in 2011. The What is New York started closer to 2018.
Oh, wow.
And that was right when things started taking a turn, because I was trying to do double duty, and I was trying to do the social media thing while producing in television, and it was proving to be really difficult.
Oh, I bet.
It was affecting everyday, you know, work in television. It was affecting personal life, because, you know, you're trying to basically do two jobs at once. So once the freelance television gig was up, it was time to kind of go full bore into the social media thing.
That's amazing. And so I know you've seen a lot of crazy stuff yourself on the New York subway and in New York City. What is the craziest thing that you have seen personally?
Yeah, you know, it's changing all the time. But the I have said this one other time. There was a time where there was a guy who went in between the subway cars, and we were at a station, and this is why I know what happened. He went in between. It was an elevated platform in Brooklyn, and he took a dump in between in between the subway cars, which isn't, you know,
right.
It's actually not that crazy.
I was gonna say,
a New Yorker.
That's not crazy.
The problem is that the sidewalks below, it's an elevated platform. So you have people in cars underneath the train who are just getting the brunt of everything coming down from up on top. So that it was crazy just in person, but also, you know, the more and more I thought about it, I'm like, I can't imagine walking home from a long day of work and just getting rained on by, you know, human feces.
Yeah, I'd be like, what kind of karma is coming at me right now?
I mean, maybe that's just when you pack things up and you're like, it's time to go. It's a sign New York has chewed me up and spit me out.
Well, you know, when a bird poops on you, I think isn't that good luck, supposedly?
You know
so
who
maybe
said
this
that?
Is really good luck.
You know who
Somebody
said
else
that?
Said that?
Some No, you know who says that is good luck?
Who?
People who get dumped on by birds. So, you know, it's of course it is. But, you know, I could probably, I would go with that if I were in that position. I would say, yeah, it's good luck.
Wow. I'm trying to think of the craziest thing I've ever seen on the subway. And, you know, I haven't really seen too many crazy things in the 11 years I've been here. Nothing really, really too crazy.
Well, Kelly, I'll be honest with you. So many people say to me, you know, I went to New York for the first time after seeing your accounts.
Yeah.
And I thought going into the subway, it was going to be like a three-ring circus.
Exactly.
Not to say that it's not.
Right.
But it's not like that everywhere and every time you go down.
Yep.
So there were people genuinely disappointed from following my accounts who visited New York and didn't get to see some crazy stuff. And they would DM me and they would say, hey, where is all the stuff that's on your account? And I said, you know, you need to be sometimes in the right place at the right time.
That's such a good point because, you know, they're looking at your page and right now, we're talking about subway creatures.
Right.
And so they see it every day, multiple times a day. How many times do you post a day on subway creatures?
You know, I try to limit it because, you know, it does get stuff does get repetitive after a while. And I don't want to burn it out or water it down. But, you know, it all depends. If there's something that's very timely and very relevant to what's happening in the moment.
Makes sense.
I will absolutely make sure that gets up quick. Otherwise, I really try to schedule posts and spread it out because what I learned in the beginning and a lot of what I did because I started early when Instagram first came along, a lot of this was trial and error. It's like, let's see what works for content, what the audience likes, what they don't like. And, you know, I've learned a lot through doing that. But, you know, I really try to limit it to once a day, if that, just because it's such a niche category that, you know, you don't
want. So smart.
Yeah, you kind of have to treat it that way.
It's really smart. You know, you have some recurring themes that I love, and I'll tell you one that I love is when the books that people read on the subway.
That's a funny,
you know,
series,
just the funny, hilarious books that are off, just crazy, you know, off the wall titles. You know, I saw a post that you posted that said, "Why do men have nipples?" Someone's, you know, and I was laughing, and then it made me think later that day. I'm like, "Why do men have nipples?" But it was just funny, you know. I love that's one of the favorite segments of mine.
Let's take a quick break. Hey there, I'm Bellamy Young. I'm an actor and a producer. I've been working with the global humanitarian organization, CARE, and I am so excited to invite you along for my new podcast, She Leads with CARE. Each week, you'll meet some incredible women who have changed their lives and their communities.
We raise our voices for people who don't raise their voices to defend themselves.
Listen to She Leads with CARE now on your favorite podcast platform. New episodes every Tuesday.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm glad you brought that up because there are a few series I do like that. There's a really good favorite that people enjoy, which is, I call it, Do You Think They Know? And it's people sitting by people who are dressed almost identically the
same. Oh, yes. I love those.
And I'm telling you right now, these are not staged. So many people think that these are staged posts.
But you can tell in general, in my opinion, since we have the experience.
Agreed. And I know where you're going with this, and I know.
You can tell if it's staged or not. I can tell right away that it isn't.
Right.
With these posts, yeah.
There is something about a certain scenario that you can see, and you're like, that's either staged or set up, or you know these people are doing this intentionally. But for the most part, these are all genuine New York moments. And that's the one thing that I love the most about them. And I think people enjoy too, is that these are just really weird things happening, you know, in the subway.
Organically.
Yeah.
I love it. I mean, I personally myself, you know, I see people bringing with plants on the subway and trees and things like that. And another thing that I love that you post all the time, which is a recurring theme again, is animals. All the animals that you see on the subway, like ponies and lizards and a lemur and pigs and then snakes. And then the most famous, I think, is Pizza Rat.
Pizza Rat, yeah.
Yeah, that went viral, didn't it? And it went crazy.
Yeah, that helped subway creatures kind of get on the map.
Oh,
because that was way back, and I want to say maybe like, I don't know, 2013, 2014 maybe. It was a long time ago.
I think everybody knows Pizza Rat.
Everyone knows Pizza Rat. And you know, I had nothing to do with that viral video. I did post it. Like, when I say I had nothing to do with it, I found it through someone who had submitted it. I wound up posting it. And I think because my account was dedicated to the subway, people were crediting it to my account, even though it wasn't me. So what wound up happening was the news would pick it up and they were crediting me when I was very, you know, transparent. I'm like, listen, this video is kind of, it somehow is a viral video that like got to me. I don't know who the original poster is. I'm not trying to take credit for it, but they didn't know who to credit. So they were like, well, we're just going to give you the credit because that's where we saw it. And that was one of the tipping points that made the account, you know, accumulate the kind of numbers that it did and put it on the map
recognition.
Because of that video. So
can you explain what Pizza Rat is?
Yeah, absolutely. So for those who have not seen or heard of Pizza Rat, there was a video a while back. I guess, in my opinion, I think it's coming up on 10 years. But
wow, time flies.
But it was a rat that had a full piece of pizza, and it was pulling it down the stairs.
Right, I can see
onto the subway platform. And we don't have to get too far into this, and I don't want to be the one to burst everyone's bubble. But it was a staged video.
It was.
There is this.
I didn't know that.
There's this underground viral video person who's they claim they're an artist. Their name is Zardulu.
Yeah.
And she has trained rats. And it's not the first viral video that she had done using these rats, but the rat was apparently trained to pull the pizza down the stairs. And it was filmed by someone. And that's when it went viral. If you Google Zardulu, there is a whole.
You just taught me something.
There's a whole thing on the video, and it blew my mind. I didn't learn this until a few years afterwards. But to credit, she did a video showing how the rats did it. And to this day, I don't think anyone really knows who Zardulu is.
Wow!
But it wasn't the only. There was another, and now this is where we get sidetracked. But there was one other thing that they did where they did a fish with three eyes out of the Gowanus Canal. That was also Zardulu, and that also got a lot of viral stage. It was viral, you know, a viral stunt. So that was back in the early days when, like, viral videos, to find out that it was staged, you know, it got everyone. It was such an early staged viral video.
I never
video.
Knew that or heard that it was staged. Yeah. And I do, you know, I see people kind of recreating it now. But
you know, I tell people here and there, and I don't go around talking about it too much because I just want the legend to continue to live with the pizza rat. But
we all know.
I mean, as long as we're talking about it, I also like because of who I am and what I do.
Yeah.
You know, I only mention it because like it is starting to become a little bit more known.
Okay.
And, you know, I need people to know that I know. I'm on the inside with this. Yeah. You know, I know about this.
I'm surprised I haven't heard anything about that. Or I didn't even pick up on it.
Yeah. But yeah.
Pretty, it's a great video. It's one of my tops too. So kudos to what's her name?
Zardulu.
You know, she's got some talented rats.
Yeah.
You know? Absolutely. We have a lot of rats in New York City, and that's some talented rats. Well, you know, let's get to what New York eats.
Mm-hmm.
So when did you create that specific page and why?
That page came about right after the pandemic. And the goal with that, I had a lot of friends and family in the food industry, restaurant, bar industry. And as most of us New Yorkers know,
right.
You know, COVID just absolutely wiped that industry out. And it was, you know, they had such an uphill battle to come back from. Obviously, you know, everything, you know, went on pause for a while. And then on top of it, then you had people weren't allowed to go inside
right.
to mm-hmm. dine. You had to stay outside. Then there was vaccine mandates where people weren't allowed to go into restaurants unless they had a card
right.
showing that they were vaccinated. Then there was outdoor seating, but then they
right.
tried to take that away because
yep.
they said it was causing a rodent problem outside, that it was taking up parking spots.
And that's still an issue today.
That is still,
yeah.
that is, I mean,
that's
granted,
specific.
The industry is in a little bit better of a
right.
place than 100%. It was then, but I just felt I needed to create some kind of page that was able to put a spotlight on the industry in a whole. Let's feature what places are open. Let's try to, there was
smart.
A lot of organizations mm-hmm. at that time where they were trying to help out, not just the restaurants, but the employees to that
right.
industry as well, you know? So I wanted it to be some kind of lifeline. So I wanted to be able to go in, create content in these places, show people that it's open, show people, you know, you can still go to these places mm-hmm. and get amazing food or
to-go drinks.
To-go drinks was a big deal at
yep.
that time. Honestly, looking back, you look at that time. What a weird period. What a weird time.
It's weird that so much time has passed that it's over, too.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely. I remember standing out on the sidewalk.
This month, 4 years.
Yeah. I remember standing out on the sidewalk because you couldn't go inside. And again, these things weren't really thought through, but it was like you mentioned, you were allowed to set up and serve alcohol through the window of a bar or restaurant. So
right.
everyone would just congregate on the sidewalks. But no one really thought out the fact that, okay, now we're all just drinking outside, but we're not even allowed to go inside and use the bathrooms.
Right.
Now where's everyone going to go to the bathroom?
What
and
you had crazy
people
time.
Just pissing all over the streets.
Yeah.
And like, what a weird, weird time.
It was a really crazy time.
So, you know, the whole point of that page was more to just give back to that industry. And, you know, since then it's evolved a lot. And thankfully that industry is in a little bit better of a place. But that was the initial goal, was to give back to that industry. We did a lot of fundraising.
You did. I went to your page, that page as well. Well, all your pages, but that page during the pandemic too, to learn about where to go, what to do, what I could do, what I couldn't do, all that stuff.
Yeah, we did it. You know? We did a couple of different activations. You know, I worked with an illustrator it was really sad because as restaurants and bars just started disappearing, I worked with an illustrator. And one of the initiatives that we did was the illustrator would basically draw the outside of and make these illustrations of the mm-hmm. outside of these famous places that were just disappearing. And we were selling them and we were putting 100% of the proceeds
wow.
towards
that's amazing.
An initiative called Roar, which was a restaurant initiative, which was giving back to all of the employees in the industry and the restaurant owners. And we were just honestly trying to think of any way possible that we could help. Even if it was just putting a spotlight on a certain business, but so many of the small mom and pop businesses that had been there for, you know,
right.
decades,
mm-hmm.
just, you know, they couldn't afford to keep the lights on. And it was so sad. It's such a sad period of time.
It was tough, really tough.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question for you too, but this is in reference to what New York eats. And I'm sure you know this. What does BECSPK stand for?
Man. Dude, that's bacon, egg, and cheese, salt, pepper, ketchup.
Yeah.
Man. Come on now. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
We all know that.
Yeah. I was thinking you better know this, but I knew you knew it. But
yeah, no, that's you know, that's obviously one of the most famous foods.
Do you want to tell people what it means? Oh, you just said it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, 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 absolutely. Like, and, but, you know, that's one of the famous lines that, you know, you could order that in a bodega.
Yep.
And everyone knows,
you know exactly what it is. B-E-C-S-P-K.
And that's one of the other cool parts that, you know, anyone who's not from New York, everyone has their quote unquote, their bodega.
Right.
You know, you walk in.
Oh, I have mine.
You're
definitely.
Almost on a first name basis with whoever's working there, and they know your order. And almost you could either go in and just say what's up, and they say the usual, and you say yes, or sometimes you even don't even have to say anything.
Right.
You just give them the nod.
You just walk
and
in.
They know exactly what you're going with.
Yep.
And that's a really cool aspect of New York.
There's also another really funny video on what New York eats. There is a person ordering, and then the camera or the video pans over to the ingredients on the shelf, and you see all the normal ingredients that a bodega would have to make a sandwich. And then in the middle is like some prescription pills. I don't know. It just made me laugh.
You know,
I'm like,
what?
This is so New York.
You know what? It's so New York. And it's also, you know, so many people go to the pages purely for the comment section alone.
Yeah. Oh,
and,
yes.
And that was one of those account. That was one of those posts that, you know, I didn't even try to make a funny caption for it because it was like
not needed.
The comment. It's not even needed. The video speaks for itself. And the comment section is going to do its job on this one. And I think that was a classic example of someone even ordering like a bacon, egg, and cheese,
right?
Salt, pepper, ketchup, hold the Vicodin. You know, it was
I saw that.
There were some really good comments with that, you know, throwing all that in there, because there was also the timestamp on the video, I think, was like 10 a.m. or something.
Oh,
but there was also an open Heineken there was an open beer right underneath the medication.
Oh,
so it was
awesome.
Just like, say, and that's what you're going to see in a bodega, you know?
Yeah.
It's like that wasn't even a crazy thing.
You want the reality of New York with humor added into it as well, you know?
Right.
With some of those. That's great. So also, Rick, now we're going to move on to What New York Wears, your page, What New York Wears. So what inspired you to do that page as well?
You know, one of the things that I've always wanted to do was not only spotlight all the New York things, but go to the quintessential industries that really make New York what it is. And, you know, I had already had the subway and the streets of New York with those two accounts.
Yep.
You know, what is New York and subway creatures? You know, the food industry is obviously a huge one. But I thought fashion, you know, there's so much that happens in New York.
Really agree.
Even if it's just something as simple as streetwear. You know, there is the ridiculous Met Gala that they do. You know, there's New York Fashion Week. There's so much you can do with an account with the fashion industry. And the good part about it is, listen, I am no fashionista. I don't know the first thing about fashion. But the good part is that I know a lot of people who do. And
right.
I can have them come in and talk about it. And I can also have, you know, I always say New Yorkers are my eyes and ears for everything that I do.
100%.
And they contribute so much. And one of the really cool parts about New York City is you can walk around dressed however the hell you want, and it's accepted. For the most part, it's accepted, and you're not gonna take any shit for it. And it's like, you know, I love that people feel so comfortable here wearing. And you know, when I first moved here, this is not an exaggeration. My first month living here, I was living in Hell's Kitchen. And there was a guy walking down the street, and he was a man wearing a wedding dress.
Yeah.
Just walking down the street. And, you know, obviously I had a staring problem in that moment
right.
where I just, you know, I'm just like, what is going on? But the fact that this dude felt so comfortable, I thought that was so cool.
I agree.
And it's those types of instances that I'm like, you know what? This is not one of those accounts where, you know, we're pointing and laughing.
You're
this is one
right.
of those accounts where we're celebrating the fact that people can feel this comfortable.
Yep. Just own it.
And yeah,
yeah,
and that's exactly, and you'd be surprised, because in the beginning I was very curious. I was like, I wonder how this is going to be received. Are people going to take this as, oh, you're making fun of? You'd be surprised. Everyone, for the most part, looks at it and they're like, no, that's exactly what it is. And they're just owning what they're wearing, and they love it.
I completely agree. You know, sometimes, you know, now that I moved to New York City, sometimes, you know, I lived here 11 years now, as I stated earlier, and what I think I kind of look. I dress just so boring and tame, you know? And then sometimes I think, oh, this looks dumb, that I think, this is New York. No one even is looking at me. No one cares. You know, people dress so uniquely and different and, so amazing. And here I am worried that my sweats are too short. You know what I mean? Because I threw them in the dryer too long or something, you know? Right. And I'm like, who cares? No one, this is, it just makes me think completely different living in New York City now about what I wear. It's just, it's no big deal. No one's even paying attention. There's so many amazing, unique people out there that you can see. And what's really cool too, is I think that for me, as an example, when I see someone wearing something incredible, very unique, beautiful, interesting, I instantly think, I want to take a picture so I can send it to What New York Wears. Yeah. You know, and I have sent, you know, I send you stuff here and there, and it's just, or tag you, I should say. And it's just, that's the first thing I think is, oh, I got to send this to What New York Wears. I get a guy today I walked by, he was dressed so unique and so interestingly. And I thought, I wanted to ask him if I could take his picture, but the moment passed, I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to do it now. But
yeah. And you know, fashion is such a big part of, you know, a lot of people's lives. And that is, you know, to a lot of people, that's their identity.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you see people making, you know, statements with what they're wearing, you know, and it's crazy. There's a world that just from doing what I'm doing, I've learned so much about, you know, the streetwear alone. And I've learned about sneakerheads, and I've learned about all these other things. And it's people's the amounts of money that people spend on stuff. It's just, it's so crazy. But I love that. Okay, this is where they choose to spend their money. And, you know, there's collectibles, and it goes so deep. And I really appreciate it, and I love it. And I never thought I'd be sitting around talking about fashion, but it's not necessarily about fashion. It's more of like an identity thing,
right,
for a lot of these people. And I, you know, have learned so much just from doing what I'm doing with it.
Me too. Just watching your page, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Speaking of the sneakerheads or whatever, the video with all the sneaker fans, there was something on 34th Street. There was a video where a new sneaker dropped or something, and thousands of people were running up 34th. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I know
about?
Exactly what you're talking about. That
went viral.
And that's something I learned about too. Yeah. It's like when they do these fashion drops, whether it's shoes, whether it's hats or bags or whatever. And that was a funny video because it was people sitting in a car, and all of a sudden there were people running down the middle of the street. And it was almost like a scene out of like a Godzilla movie or something. Like you were waiting for something to just come around the corner,
right,
as big as a building. But it was just people sprinting down 34th Street, and it was a sneaker drop. It was people, because what happened was they had changed the location at the last second to the sneaker drop. So everyone who was in line waiting at the original location all got the message at the same time that the location had changed. So everyone was sprinting to try and be the first one, because the way that those things work is you have to be one of the first 100 or 200 or mm-hmm. whatever the number is. You have to be one of the first to get there, or else you're going to miss out. And the resale value on those types of things can be anywhere from 4 to 10 times the amount that you pay originally.
Well, I learned all that from your page.
Yeah.
So,
we're all learning in real time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So interesting, Rick. So now the next page we're going to go to is What Is New York Dating, which is your newest page, correct?
Newest page. Just started that one maybe a month ago, I want to say.
I'm excited to hear about this.
Yeah, it's a work in progress. I think that page specifically is still trying to find its voice, still trying to find, you know, what its identity is. But again, this was something I hadn't necessarily thought about previously. What actually wound up happening, and this is just kind of a coincidence, but it kind of spoke to me. It was that so many people, oddly enough, were like, how come you're not doing a dating page? I really think you should. Dating in New York City is, honestly, it's like the animal kingdom. It is so wild.
Yeah.
It is just, and I fortunately have never really been single for that long in the city. And even when I have, it's never really like I wasn't on the apps or anything. I was never too concerned with it, but I kind of missed the craze of the dating app thing. But man, you want to talk about, I have heard tons of stories since starting this page. And, you know, that is kind of what we wanted. We also want to document a lot of the success stories, you know?
Right.
Yeah. I think that there's also a lot of that to go around, but man, there is more than enough of the horror stories from both sides too. It's not just the women, you know, giving out horror stories. It does come from both sides, but man, I didn't realize the challenge of dating. I think there's this misconception, oh, there's 8 million people in New York. You have so many to pick from. I think that actually works against people.
Completely agree.
The fact that it's so many people, because everyone thinks that there's something better out there. So they could find someone who's a really cool person who may be their future soulmate, and they don't give it the chance because they always think that there's something better because there's so many options out there.
Yep.
And they overlook what's right in front of them.
I am, believe it or not, in the dating pool, and I do agree with you.
So you can actually speak from experience on
it's fun. No, it is.
The word
it is.
I always hear is interesting.
It's interesting. I mean, yeah. I'm a little bit older now, so, you know, I'm realistic to how dating is. You know, I've seen a lot.
Right.
And now I'm focusing on my social media, my podcast.
Yep.
Dating's, you know, in the back.
It's not in the forefront.
Right. It's not in the front.
And it's probably for the best from what I hear.
Right.
You know, it's just there's the dating apps have changed a lot as well. You know, New York would have been a great place, I feel like, maybe 15, even 10 years ago when, you know, it's more of like going to bars and, you know, there was more of a social scene. Now there's a lot of hookup apps. There's lot of, and I don't want to call it antisocial, but it's just more of people, talking on apps, and there's a lot of ghosting, and there's a lot of terms like that I'm learning about that, you know, it's a lot easier to, there's the catfishing, there's the ghosting, there's so much happening.
Instant meeting, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of just hookups. And it's, again, all around. It's not just, you know, there's even the gay community where you have Grinders of the world. And it's like, everything is so universal. It's not just, it's not just one area. And I think that that's what makes things so interesting at the same time.
Dating is an equal opportunity pain in the butt for everybody, you know? Yes.
And because of that relatability, everyone can relate to it. I think that's what adds to the success of a social media page.
100%
right. It's having, you know, those relatable, that relatable content or those relatable situations where people are like, you know what? That's me. I've been in that situation before. And I think that honestly, that's what makes a lot of my brands successful, is because there is a lot of those situations that are featured or highlighted that people are like, it makes it very easy to share the content.
Right.
Because there's so many people that can say, oh my God, I remember being in that situation. I got to send that to all my friends who were in that same situation, because we all talked about it. Or, you know, there's the people who may not have family who are here, who are like, I have to send it to my family who's on the West Coast. They're not going to believe what I'm dealing with out here.
Exactly.
So it kind of goes both ways.
It's funny, because I was going to say, when you said, I think earlier, a few years ago or whatever, I was going to say, well, back in my day, you know, like an old man, you know, but it's back in my day, literally was pre-apps. You met somebody at work or at a bar, like you said, and it was a little bit more organic and you got to know somebody's personality. And it was just a different time before this.
Right. There's a lot less of that. It feels like.
What'd you say?
There's a lot less of that. It feels like.
Yeah. Days. Oh, yeah. I don't think people meet each other at work, really, or it's just on these apps. So just a different world.
Yes.
There's a couple of funny videos I love on the page of What Is New York Dating. There's one of, there's this guy sitting at a two top at a restaurant. He's in one chair, his dog's in the other.
Oh, I think that might have been on a couple of the pages, but
I think it might have
started on the What New York Eats page, because it was like, it's at a dining room. It's like a restaurant setting.
Yeah,
correct?
It's in a restaurant.
And then I think we reused it for the dating page just because it was funny. And
I think everybody loved that.
There's so many people who are like, I'll take the dog over, you know.
What a great date, you know.
And I agree. I agree with that statement, you know.
Yeah. And then one did really make me laugh, which there's a guy with his, let's see, what was he doing? There's a guy with his hand, like, handcuffed to the bedpost, but it's not a handcuff. It's like a six-pack plastic ring thing. It says getting freaky on a budget.
Yes. I mean, come on, that's relatable for all New Yorkers.
Yes.
When we're paying, you know, $3,000 to live in a shoebox, you know, and that's actually a cheap ring.
I think I laughed out loud, literally.
Again, that one. it's finding that content and sourcing that kind of stuff that, you know, what is relatable to everyone.
Right.
And that was just one of those things where it really, that kind of hit the nail on the head. At least I saw that and I was like, yes, that is the one.
That really made me laugh. That was a good one. Exactly. That was a really good one. So let's move on to your last page of the pages we're talking about today, which to me is, you know, another one of my favorites in all of social media. What is New York?
Yeah, I appreciate that. And that one kind of encapsulates everything that we've been talking about, because I always say, you know, it's not even as big as Subway Creatures as far as numbers wise. But I always say that has a higher ceiling. I mean, that you could do anything with that page. And, you know, that has been, you know, also it speaks for itself, because so many people, when it comes to brands and sponsors and partnerships,
right,
you know, that's the one everyone wants a piece of.
Mm-hmm.
But that is the one that was just kind of a no-brainer to start. I think I started that one back in 2018. And so many people were sending stuff that was outside the Subway that I was like, why don't I have a page outside the Subway? Like, let's not focus right. just on the Subway. Let's bring it out of the Subway. And it just was a natural evolution. And honestly, that one took off immediately.
Yeah.
I mean, amazing. It's just endless content.
I mean, if I have to say, throughout the years I brought it up, I'll say, you know, what is New York? And everybody instantly knows what is New York.
Honestly, there's more people I feel like, if you bring that up, they'll know that probably over Subway Creatures.
Well, I actually thought What is New York was prior to Subway Creatures.
Yeah, see?
Yeah.
And it wasn't. It was pretty significantly after. But it, you know, it was just one of those things that, like I said, it was just a natural move. And you can do so much more with that account because you're not limited to the Subway.
I mean, you have endless possibilities, because there's so many bizarre, interesting, heartwarming scenarios every day that people can send in, you know?
And again, so, that's another account that I think people are like, oh, this is staged or whatnot. And I'm like,
I don't think
that. No, like, if you live in New York, you can relate to this stuff, and you're like, oh, no, that's just Washington Square Park.
Right.
That's just a regular Tuesday in the water fountain at Washington
I know exactly
Square
what you
Park.
Mean. Yeah.
You know, it's there. And, you know, it's crazy because of the size of the accounts, you know, one of the really cool things that have happened naturally is that when people film something, you know, they don't always, they're like, oh my God, I don't even know what to do with this right now, because I can post it on my account, but what are my 1,000 followers going to, you know, it's not big enough. I need to do something with this.
Right.
And I think a lot of people just immediately are like, what's an account that I could send it to where this is like a natural thing to be on? And they send it to me. And, it, you know, I post it up, and now millions of people are seeing it instead of just their following. And I think that's so cool. And that's, again, just to reiterate why I say, you know, New Yorkers are my eyes and ears of the whole brand, because without New Yorkers and the people who submit stuff, you know, I'm so limited to what I can find. You know, I need people to be out there pulling out their phones all the time.
And we are.
Yeah.
We are.
And it's cool that, you know, I'm also one of the first places that they think of when they want to send
it around. Definitely. I think almost anything that I see that I won't put on my own page, you know, is instantly, what is New York?
Well, I think that's a great point, too, is that, you know, there are so many people who say, oh, my bosses follow me on social media. I don't want them seeing some of the stuff that I'm like, that I'm at. Maybe I'm at a party or a bar, and it's like, you know, something a little risque that's going on. And they're like, oh, you know, I'll just submit it because I'm not going to post it. Otherwise, this video is just going to waste. I'll send it in. Hey, make sure you don't, you know, they'll send me a message sometimes. Hey, don't credit me. I don't want to be affiliated with this video. I just felt like this was the place to send it to. And I'm like, yeah, I'll gladly take this. Again, it's just a cool aspect of what I do.
So I have some, I'll tell you some of my favorite videos.
I would love that. Yeah.
So there's one I think we all know where there's the dad and the kid on the little scooter with two wheels going like 40 miles an hour, I think, in the Bronx. You know what I'm talking about?
I didn't know that one.
And he's just going full speed, you know?
Yeah.
And it's very, very New York, very Bronx.
It is. It is. Yeah. And I think that's, again, something that just, it resonates, because it's like, oh, this is regular life here.
Do you feel, I just thought of this, do you feel each borough has its own sense or style when it comes to sending in videos to what is New York.
I do. And I think that, you know, that actually, you know, the videos sometimes speak for themselves. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the time people love to try and identify the areas right. of what these videos, where these videos are happening. You know, there was a classic example recently of, it was like a rainstorm and there was a guy giving someone else, there were two people and one was giving the other person a tattoo in a rainstorm in a doorway. And, you know, I think I captioned, I go, can anyone guess what neighborhood this is?
Oh, wow.
And almost immediately, like the comments,
there you go. Yep.
It's just bam, 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 bam. Everyone, because, you know, everyone wants to not only guess, but everyone wants to be right.
Right.
So, yeah, you know, right. they're not only guessing, but they're also correcting other people in the comment section.
Exactly.
But there is this aspect to it where I think people see things in videos and that's part of identifying with it. They're like, oh, I know where that is, you know, and that's the same thing. I think that at least in for me, I love watching movies and television shows like High Maintenance or Broad City that yep. take place in New York,
right?
Because you're sitting there and you're like, oh my God, I know exactly where they are right now. You know, that's my laundromat, or right. oh, they're on Broadway right now. That's the bar I always go to. There's this like thing about seeing the same stuff that you see in real life all the time that is just really cool. And it's also like to be able to identify with these types of things.
They filmed In the Heights on my block.
Okay. There you
go. So, you know, by Lin-Manuel Miranda, you know, and it was just to walk down every day and see where they filmed and watching the movie. I love the movie because it's my neighborhood. I know exactly what you mean. So another one that I love too, that I see, you know, once in a while, a lot of people see this guy around the city, is the guy who rides his bicycle with maybe a tire on his head or, you know, a couch or a chair on his head. You know who I'm talking about, that guy?
I do. So here's another. Yeah. Here's
I see him all over the city every day.
So his name's,
not every week,
his name's Layboy.
Yeah.
He's actually from Liberia. So this is another really cool thing. I've met some of the coolest people and right. most interesting people from doing what I'm doing, because there is the aspect of people sending these videos in and I just repost them. But again, back in 2018, I decided, you know, all right, let's take this to the next level. Let's actually like not only meet some of these people, but let's tell a little bit of their story. And, you know, there are some other New York accounts that do very similar things, but I personally wanted to meet them. I'm like, as long as I'm meeting them, I might as well document this.
Right.
So I'm meeting so many of these people and getting to tell their stories. You know, I used to have a podcast where, you know, we would do just that. And we would even have some of them on the show and telling their stories of not only whatever the crazy or wild or interesting thing is that they were doing, but how did they get there? Like, what was their comeuppance or like, what was their journey like? And man, you talk to some of these people and it's just wild and crazy. And you know, it's unfortunate too, because you see these people like Layboy, for instance, you know, you see he's very famous, not only in New York, but more specifically in the Greenpoint, Williamsburg
section. That's where
section.
I just saw him the other night.
Yeah, because he lives around there, and that's where he's doing a lot of these. He rides, like you mentioned, he rides either a city bike or a regular bike.
Yeah.
He puts all sorts of objects, whether it's tires, refrigerators. I've even seen him with a couch on his head before.
Yes,
So, you know, but then you stop down and talk to him and he's like, I was like, do people pay you to do this? Like, why do you make a living doing this? And he's like, sometimes people pay me, sometimes they don't. He goes, I go, well, why are you doing this? And he goes, you know, he goes, I do it because a lot of people smile when they see me and
that's
they
really
like,
cool.
they really like it, it gives them enjoyment. And he goes, I sometimes I make money, sometimes I don't. But, you know, more than anything, I like that aspect of it. And I go, you know what? More power to you for that. Cause that's, you know, you're probably going to have some neck or back problems at some point.
Cause I saw him the other night with this huge tire on his head. It was a Williamsburg Pier area.
Yep.
And,
yeah, he's always
and I actually
that area.
Got like a video kind of in the distance. And I tagged you guys. I put it in my story. I tagged.
Yeah. And, you know, yeah. I've just, again, I've posted these people so many times that it just gets repetitive.
Yep.
So that's why when people get mad at me, they're like,
oh, I never get mad.
They're like, I tagged you in the video. Why didn't you repost? And I'm like, I know. And it is a great video. It's hard to ignore, but I've posted Layboy so many times that people are like, all right, we get it. We know what his deal is. We get
completely understand.
Yeah. So, you know, there is that aspect too.
So then people send you videos daily, correct? And well, how many videos do you generally get? And are there ever videos that you get that are, you're like, oh my gosh, I can't, this is crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'll be honest with you. Yeah. There's probably the majority I can't use or I don't want to use because, you know, you do have to have some kind of place where you draw the line on content that you post. You know, you try to stay away from kids. You don't want to exploit children in any kind of way unless you have their parents sign off on it, which is a very rare instance. But sometimes you have some parents out there who maybe their kid's just doing something funny or cute.
Even as a photographer, I steer away from that.
Yeah. Yep. You know, if anything, you know, you crop the head out of the picture, the face out of the picture. But even so, you just want to, stay away from stuff like that. But, you know, there is a lot of people who will send you stuff of, you know, the less fortunate homeless people people just in a bad place in their life. And you're like, this isn't funny. Like, there's just nothing about this that's funny or interesting. It's just someone in a really shitty situation that you're just like, I'm not posting.
Like, where's your heart?
You gotta have morals somewhere with it. So you try to stay away from stuff like that. To be honest with you, what I really try to focus on are the people or the instances where they're drawing attention to themselves, like the Layboys who is driving around, they're trying to be a spectacle on purpose.
Right.
Or they're doing something where you're like, all right, you're wearing a crazy hat or shirt that has a funny saying or a ridiculous saying on it. I'm like, you know, like you left home like that. Like you're trying to draw attention to yourself. That's one instance. It's another if someone's just in a vulnerable situation. You know, there's even times where like someone may have fallen asleep on the train. You know, you don't necessarily want to take pictures of people who are just passed out on the train because they're not doing anything to like try and bring attention to themselves. They're in a vulnerable situation. You want to stay away from stuff like that.
I actually saw not too long ago, within a couple of months, there was a poor homeless guy sleeping on the train, laying long ways on the train. And these tourists were standing next to him, getting their picture taken while he was asleep. And it made me mad because they're laughing and getting their picture with him and he's sleeping.
Yeah.
And I was just like, that is not cool.
No, and that's exactly what I mean. You know, there are people who are like that, who will do stuff like that to make viral videos because they think it's hilarious.
Right.
And it's like, man, you are just not with the times anymore because that is not the way you're going to go viral. If anything, you're going to go viral for the wrong reasons for that.
Right.
And people are going to find you and they're going to do what they do best as far as like identifying you, canceling you. You don't want to go down that road.
Completely agree. There's one, there's a video too that I'm really proud of that we did together, collaborated on, which is we did a collaboration on 9/11. Was it down at Broadway Lafayette Station? I can't remember the specific station, but it was with you, with Chris Hole.
Love Chris.
Yep, he's amazing. The super talented pianist. We talked to him actually on one of the episodes coming up. And Doug, who's amazing, and we remember Doug's friend Bob McPadden. This beautiful mural that was on the background.
That's right outside Second Street Second Ave subway station.
Yeah.
Right? Yep.
That was a beautiful collaboration, I think, that we
did. And that did really well.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm really
9/11.
Thank you guys for shooting and sending that stuff in because you know it's
studying us.
I'm
share
like,
with you.
That is just a no brainer to post that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And because my accounts feature some of the most ridiculous, bizarre stuff, it is really nice to stop down sometimes and have some wholesome, good content on the page.
It was
that was a great example of one of them.
Yep. I don't know if I stated it was Bob McFadden was a firefighter and he passed away on 9/11. So I don't know if I mentioned that, which is very important. So it was a beautiful collaboration. So thank you for doing that.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Before we let you go, Rick, we here at the New Yorkers podcast want to know why you, Rick McGuire, are a New Yorker.
I am a New Yorker. Like I said, I grew up just outside New York City, always looking at the skyline, knowing I wanted my entire life to live there. I wanted to be surrounded by the chaos, just be right in the middle of all of it. I've been able to achieve that. But I think also, you know, what makes us all New Yorkers is, you know, going through that daily grind on a daily basis. And I was even doing that pre-COVID when, you know, you were, this is crazy to say, going into the office 5 days a week, doing that 9-to-5 thing. You know, that grind was so different from what it is now. And, you know, there's this thing that everyone was able to relate to, that getting into a packed subway in the morning, doing the same thing on the way coming home. We all have to deal with high rent prices, high costs for everything because we live here. And I think that not only does that make me a New Yorker, but it's all of us. We're all in it together. And I think that that's also why when there are certain instances like the 9/11s, like the Sandys, when there is tragedy, that's when New Yorkers really come together, because we're all going through it together. And I think that that's just a really important thing to highlight, because it does seem, especially right now, New Yorkers can be split down the middle. They can really be at each other's throats sometimes. But I think when it really comes down to it, I think, you know, there's this thing where everyone's like, you know, we are in this together and we got to have each other's backs. And that's one thing that I'm actually pretty proud of, being affiliated or called a New Yorker, is that I feel confident when it comes down to it, that everyone is there to have my back and I'm there to have their back. And I think that that's a really cool thing.
That's amazing. Wow. That was so well said. That's very inspiring.
Appreciate that. Yeah.
Wow. You could, I
didn't even know you were going to ask that question either. I just kind of,
that could not have been a better answer.
But that's also, that flowed naturally.
A tear was about to
fall.
That flowed
naturally because that's seriously how I feel. Like,
oh, I know. I felt it.
You know,
I loved
it's just
it.
Not like, mm-hmm. like that is genuine. That's speaking from the heart right there. I didn't know you were going to ask that question, but that is.
I love that you didn't know.
Yeah.
And it came out so beautifully and so organically and perfectly. That was really good.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, listening to you, I was thinking of how I felt, and I was like, wow, that's just about New York. And that was great. That was really good.
Appreciate that.
Yeah. Thank you, Rick, for joining us today for this week's episode of the New Yorkers podcast. Why don't you let everyone know where they can find you on social media?
Absolutely. You could find me on Subway Creatures, What is New York, What New York Wears, What New York Eats, and What is New York Dating. Those are all part of the brand. And we're also on every platform as well. You can find that on TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, well, formerly Twitter, now X. And yeah, make sure you follow if you want to see some typical New York content.
Well, once again, everyone, I am your host, Kelly Kopp, also known as New York City Kopp, all across my social media.
Please like and subscribe to the New Yorkers podcast. You can follow the New Yorkers on social media at the New Yorkers podcast.
You can also leave a rating or a comment to let us know how you are enjoying the show. We read through all your comments and DMs, so please, we would love to hear from you. Thank you, Mish, Sue Rothwell, and Petra Palafox for your kind words on the last episode. If you want to be featured at the end of an episode, leave a rating on Apple Podcasts or a comment on Spotify.
And a big shout out to you, NYC Magic, Carol Ann Wildly, and Carmen Canty for your comments on Facebook.
Have a lovely day, everyone, and we will see you next Sunday.
See ya.
This is the last stop on this train. Everyone, please leave the train. Thank you for riding with MTA New York City Transit.